Pastor Jeff has us ponder over this question today on Sound Doctrine.
So where is your treasure? It's not talking about where your heart is. No, where's your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. Is your treasure on earth? Do you have a lot of things you own, and are you brooding over them, and are you not giving them to the Lord and asking God for wisdom within that? Yeah, it's not, you know, he's not against having things. It's the place that things take in your heart that's a problem. Or is your treasure in heaven?
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll be joined by Pastor Jeff Johnson in a moment, who today opens the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Where's your treasure these days? That's the question before us, and we'll learn in a moment that where our treasure is, there will be our heart also. Pastor Jeff says, put your treasure in heaven and look forward to eternal dividends. Here he is now with part two of Eternal Dividends.
Our meat is in eternity, guys. Put your treasure in heaven. Look towards heaven. Get your eyes upon the Lord, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Remember Jesus talking with that Samaritan woman in John 4, and they came to bring meat to Him, but He had already witnessed her, and she had already received the Lord. And so they come back to Him thinking He's all hungry and everything. They got McDonald's or whatever they picked up in the village. And they were bringing it to Him and said, don't you want this Big Mac? And Jesus is sitting there with a big smile and said, hey, no, man, I'm satisfied. My meat is to do the will of the Father, man. And He just got done doing His meat. He just got a full meal by witnessing to that girl. He was satisfied. He was blessed. You see, we look too much to the things of this world to bless us than the things of God. I'm looking forward to one of these days hearing that sentence, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So treasures in heaven. And stewardship, I believe, begins with a right perspective of God the Father. Number one, a right perspective of myself and a right perspective of the ministry that God has put us into. There is stewardship. All things are His. And I've been crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm cut off from the entanglements of this world if I will just get my eyes where they need to be, and that's upon the things of God and His Word. Things are not important, but souls and ministry is definitely important. So, you choose which one. The things of this earth? Well, Jesus is saying they're transitory. They're passing. They're decaying. They depreciate. Is that where you're going to put your money into? And happiness can't be bought. I mean, there's a lot of people that try to do it. Things wear out. They deteriorate. There's impurities. There's bad things called rust. Rust is a horrible thing. It takes that which you worship and look to and just makes it ugly and old, and you don't want it anymore. This is used. It's fallen apart. I love what 2 Peter 1:4 says. He says, and this is a choice, through His Word we can escape. Now you got to choose if you're going to go this way. But He says you can choose. You can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through His Word. You can go the way of the Word, or you can go the way of the world. That's a choice, isn't it? But there is a warning about prosperity. You know what that warning is? Remember God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you go into the land, and all of a sudden you get into the land and you have houses that you build and you surround yourself with fields, and I'm afraid you're going to forget about me. That after all that I have done for you, bringing you into the land, taking you through the Red Sea, and bringing you through that incredible miracle and taking you into the promised land, you'll forget me because you have all your things around you. Prosperity is a dangerous thing. Materialism brings woes and worries. Physical strength and beauty is vain. Remember, the virtuous woman even said that. She understood that. The intellect, you could be a genius, and yet in your latter years have Alzheimer's and sit there going, huh? What? And here you are, a genius in your mind, and it's gone because of sickness. Sickness is something that just snuffs strength out. Death, I think, is the ultimate thief. And that's why that man was said, thy soul will be required of thee this night. James, talking about those that will be rich in this world, James really lays it out. He says in chapter 5, talking about the rich, he says, now go to, ye rich men, weep and howl. He says, for your miseries that shall come upon you, your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Incredible. There's the negative side of it. Now, the positive side is what Peter says. Just in the next page, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that we would put our things in heaven, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, eternal dividends. The next verse, let's go back to Matthew 6 and look at verse 21 in Matthew 6. Because Jesus says, the reason that I want you to put it in and lay up yourselves treasures in heaven is because, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your treasure? It's not talking about where your heart is. No, where's your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. Is your treasure on earth? Do you have a lot of things you own, and are you brooding over them, and are you not giving them to the Lord and asking God for wisdom within that? Yeah, it's not, you know, he's not against having things. It's the place that things take in your heart that's the problem. Or is your treasure in heaven? There's your heart also. See, that's the important thing, that our heart is in heaven. If it's with your stocks on earth, your portfolio or whatever, you know, that you're trying to build this and build that and you're wooing over that, man, that could be taken in a moment, couldn't it? My mother's father, during the Depression, jumped off the Los Angeles Bridge and killed himself. For what? Because he lost everything. What do you mean he lost everything? Lost all our money. Is that everything? And how many other people took their lives and went into a Christless eternity because of filthy lucre? And that's what money is called in the Bible. Because they figured they lost everything. No, that's not everything. Come on. That's a false value system that we thought was everything. Jesus is everything. He's everything. Oh, how people get ripped off. No, our eyes need to be on the Lord. My joy is in the Lord, on the spiritual things of God. And many have fallen victim to the cares of this world and to greed, and they become slaves to it. In fact, Jesus, talking about this in John chapter 3, said in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love their darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. They love their greed, they love their money. They didn't want to go after things in heaven. They wanted the things on the earth. Okay? Then that's a choice you made. And you've got to live and die with that choice. But it's a very important decision. And notice, we'll close with these two, these next few verses. The light of the body, he says, is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Oh, how we need to get our eye upon him. And as our eyes are upon him, we see clearly. Now, right now, it's like through a glass darkly, but then face to face, but at least it's single. And the eye is, a lot of times, people are saying, it's the eye, the soul sees, and the eye brings forth the things in the soul. So a man speaks from his heart. And so I think the heart is involved here with the eye. We have to be careful what we look at, don't we? Because if you're not, it'll enter into your heart, and it'll disturb you, and it'll come up and up and again and again. So we need to guard our eye. But then he says, verse 23, but if your eye be evil or out of order, it's not like wickedness, it's more of you're just out of whack. You're seeing wrongly. You're observing things in this world that you say one thing is, now that's wrong, that thief to go into that store and steal that money from that person with a gun. That's wrong. But then you're over there doing your income tax, ripping off the income tax, lying like a dog. And you're going, but I'm wise, man. I made it. Well, I mean, it's stealing is stealing, right? But then you look that way. See, you don't see clearly. You don't think clearly. And this is what he's saying. But if your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So being deceived with the evil eye. Over in Proverbs, there's an interesting Proverbs that talks about this. In Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. So those that run to the line, you know, to get their lottery ticket. You know, that should be one of the scriptures we carry around, you know, with us at the lottery places, you know, and just put it on you. And what are you doing? You know, you're just going to lose it all. It is yet to be written a book about before the lottery, after the lottery, you know, and how their lives were forever changed, wiped out because of easy riches, you know, materialism. What a scam. Gross darkness. Remember Paul talking about his friend over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And Demas, he said, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He got into materialism. He got into the things that the world could offer. And he left Paul. He left the Lord. For what? To die without the Lord? And this is where you kind of look at these people. You ask them, how are your kids doing? Oh, they're doing great, man. They graduated from a great college, and they went out and got a great job, and they have a lot of money, and they're living in a beach house in San Clemente, and they're just doing great. But your next question is, but how are they doing in the Lord? Oh, well, they're not walking with the Lord. And they're doing great? Because, see, you start, you're great is the darkness that you're in, because you think that's great. That's not great. That should hurt your heart. You've lost your kids to materialism, to mammon. And it's a spirit, it's a demonic spirit that they are worshiping. And they don't worship God. Well, look at the final verse here. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there's this warning that goes out that Jesus is trying to give us, that things will bring in worldliness. It'll grab your heart. It will distort your mind. And then the final effect is on your own will. The things of this world, Jesus said, will choke out my word. It'll affect a man's soul and his whole being with his relationship with his God. Paul, trying to warn young Timothy, he says over in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, listen to this. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and into a lure or snare, that into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. What is he saying there? There is a lure of materialism that will feed your lust of your flesh, that your lust of your flesh will grab onto, and you'll lose your life spiritually. You'll go into lostness spiritually. You talk about darkness. Great is the darkness that latches upon materialism as a savior, that goes towards mammon. Mammon is an entity, guys. It's an entity. It's not just a fancy name for power or for money. It's a demonic force. It's a god. It's one of the gods of this world, and many go after it. Trusting in your bank, trusting in your funds, trusting in the things of this world. You're going to love one or hate the other. And see, what he's saying here is there's a conflict of interest, and both demand service. They're both saying, you will serve me. You can't serve them both. Even Jesus said that. You've got to choose. Do you see? Again, Jesus is saying, who will you serve? Sell everything you have and follow me. And he's not saying to many of us today, that's the way to go into heaven, to sell everything and be poor and beg. No, I've never seen God's people begging ever, because God always promises us blessing, doesn't he? He's always promising us a roof over our heads and food in our stomachs. And he said, you will receive that. And I will hold fast to that, and I'll bless you. I'll be with you. But Jesus said, he that loves your father, mother, son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's a love that God is saying and a commitment that God is asking for that is ultimate, isn't it? You'll either love one or hate the other. You cannot serve them both. Over in the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 62, verse 10. Listen, trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So you have more money in your life? Don't get your heart on the money. Get your heart on the Lord. And God will show you what to do with the money. Isn't that neat? That it's not a sin to be rich. But it's a sin to have your heart towards those riches. A godless outlook. It is. And in Russia, they got, you know, commercialism. They got democracy. You know, and just from, you know, the whole thing of communism to democracy. They worship one thing and now they're worshiping another. And it's materialism. And that's all they're after now is the buck, the buck, the buck. And that's all they want over there. And it's just another god that they have received and grabbed hold of. And it brings darkness and woe. In 2 Kings 17, interesting verse, talks about that they feared God and then they served other images. Think about that for a moment. They feared God but served other images and idols. You can't do both. You can't fear God and serve other gods. There's no way. Who do you serve? Back then, the slaves had no rights. They were at their master's beck and call. And we serve out of our superabundance today, because we have been super abundantly blessed, haven't we? Now, 200 years ago, our forefathers who were coming in covered wagons would say to us today, my gosh, you have a lot of stuff. And we go, well, no, it's just, you know, just things to get by. We need a lot more. And yet we need to go back and just think about the simple things that they had. But we are in our superabundance. God help us. To whom much is given, much is required. Do you remember the story of the man and his cow that was having calves? And he ran into his wife's kitchen and said, honey, honey, you won't believe this. God has blessed us so much. We have now two calves. We had no idea there was twins in there. And you know what? I'm so blessed that God is so good. I'm going to dedicate one of the calves to the Lord. And she said, well, which one, honey, which one? Well, we'll decide that when we go down the road and they grow up. And then a few months later, one of the calves got sick and ended up dying. And he comes back into the kitchen to his wife and he says, "Honey, you won't believe this. What has happened? The Lord's calf died." But that's how we are. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? They said, "Yes, we have given everything to the Lord." And they were holding back. And they ended up dying right on the spot. "All to thee we commit." You know, we sing the songs, "I surrender all." Man, if God was still doing what he did back then, there would be people just falling out. You know, "I surrender all," you know. Doosh, 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 doosh. You're a lion, man. You're not. And we fib, don't we? And we really blew it. But God loves us, and he's long-suffering. And he gives us opportunity such as this to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Give me a heart towards the things of God. Give me a mind that will glorify you, and give me wisdom with my finances. Be glorified in and through my life." Elijah said, "Choose you this day who you will serve. That which satisfies not," like Isaiah said, "or a relationship with God that will bring present blessings and eternal dividends." I love how John puts it. John is so matter of fact over there in John 3:36. John says, he simply says, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on him." If you ask me, that's really no choice at all. I just don't want to be under the wrath of God. I want everlasting life. I mean, there's no choice there. And the choice that Jesus is sharing for us today to make a decision on is just to give your heart to the Lord. To be a heavenly-minded person is to be more earthly good, believe me. Many of you are struggling with materialism, with money, because we are living in a modern-day Egypt. Worldliness is all around us. But the Lord says, if you will confess to me what you have been doing, that it is sin, and that you will seek my kingdom, you will experience an unbelievable, true prosperity in the now. And that is the abundant life in Christ. God came to give us life. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and more abundantly, and yet to give you eternal dividends that will be waiting for you in heaven later."
Well, we've been encouraged to invest in heavenly stock today on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. He'll be right back with more. As we tie up a few loose ends here at the close of our program, I should mention that you can hear these messages in Matthew's Gospel again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Listen to the Sound Doctrine podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google. And we have an app, which is another great way to journey through the Scriptures with Pastor Jeff. Search for Sound Doctrine Podcast. Did you know Pastor Jeff is an author? I'd like to draw attention to one of his great books. It's Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale. If asked, would you say you're running from God or to God? That's really the question you'll carefully consider in this book as you journey through Jonah with Pastor Jeff. You'll observe God's mercy and compassion poured out on both Jonah and the Ninevites. God longs to bless each and every one of us, and he also desires that we share his love with those who don't know him. Jonah would learn that the hard way. Order a copy of Jonah More Than a Whale Tale when you call 800-353-7553 or go to our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. And please consider standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. God's Word is very practical, giving us direction, instruction, and wisdom. I think you'd agree that's something everyone needs. And with your help, we're able to bring it to them on the radio and internet. Go to sounddoctrineradio.org to make a secure donation today. You'll notice a give button in the top right corner at sounddoctrineradio.org. Let's finish our time now in Hebrews.
Let me end with this scripture in Hebrews 6. because he says in Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love," guys, "which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister." So God is just saying, I'm a fruit inspector and I keep good books. And whenever you do anything, I write it down. And I'm not going to forget. And I'm going to remember. So just live your life for me. Look to me. And I'll give you the strength, the wisdom, and all that you need to put it together. And to be lasting fruit for my glory.
Worried about something right now? Well, join us next time as we learn what to do with our anxieties and worries. Sound Doctrine is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey and online at sounddoctrineradio.org. So, Father.